Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, April 26, 2022. Coming up this hour,
Elon Musk pulls off one of the biggest leveraged buyouts in history. We have team coverage of his Twitter takeover.
Microsoft and Apple lead the earnings parade today.
And Russia's foreign minister warns the risk of nuclear war can't be underestimated.
President Trump's legal troubles continue with New York's AG. Plus, the southern border remains closed for migrants after a judge kept Title 42 in place. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. The Nets season is over. Swept by the Celtics, a ninth-inning rally for the Mets to win in St. Louis.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 7 points, Dow futures down 76, NASDAQ futures down 17, the 10-year Treasury up 6/32nds, yield 2.79%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.60%, and NYMEX crude oil is down 1.2%. Nathan.
Karen, we begin this morning with one of the biggest leveraged buyouts in history. Elon Musk has clinched a $44 billion deal to take Twitter private. Investors will receive $54.20 for each Twitter share they own. We have team coverage for you this morning, starting with Ed Ludlow in our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco. Ed has more on four changes Musk may make to the platform going forward.
It's four main things. An edit button that is time sensitive. He's talked about that. Removing bots from the platform. He's talked about that. Open sourcing the algorithm and looking at the underlying technology for Twitter. And then finally, he's going to look at the issues of bans. Elon Musk basically framed it as being he was more in favor of timeouts than all out bans on the platform.
Bloomberg's Ed Ludlow says the deal was approved unanimously by Twitter's board. It is expected to be completed later this year.
So where will Elon Musk get the cash to buy Twitter? Well, Bloomberg's Renita Young continues our team coverage and joins us live in New York with that part of the story. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. It's the $21 billion mystery. Now, there's little doubt Elon Musk can come up with the money. After all, the Bloomberg Billionaires Index shows he's the world's richest person with a fortune of $257 billion. But Bloomberg estimates show Musk has just about $3 billion in cash and somewhat liquid assets. So that leaves him with at least three options for financing. One way, find other investors who buy into his vision, and he's already hinted at this possibility. Another way, he could sell some of his stake in Tesla, but that'll likely put the stock at risk. And thirdly, since Musk is likely even richer than calculated by the Bloomberg Billionaires Index, he might not even need new sources of funding to cover the $21 billion. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Now, some lawmakers are pushing back against the buyout. Senator Elizabeth Warren is calling Musk's Twitter deal dangerous. Ed Baxter continues our team coverage from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Musk and Warren are familiar foes. They've had battles over a number of issues, but Warren's verbiage here is very strong. She says the deal is dangerous for our democracy. She says, quote, billionaires like Elon Musk play by a different set of rules than everyone else, accumulating power for their own gain. It's dangerous because one billionaire decides how millions of people will have an opportunity to communicate with each other. The deal has potential roadblocks, beginning with the SEC, but this one threatens to be very heated. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ed, thanks. And we have more analysis on the Musk Twitter deal coming up in just a few minutes. We'll be speaking live with Wedbush senior analyst Dan Ives.
Well, now to the latest on the war in Ukraine, Nathan. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov warns the risk of nuclear war is real and can't be underestimated. That's after Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said the U.S. wants to see Russian forces weakened in Ukraine. This morning, Secretary Austin is pledging continued U.S. support.
Ukraine has done a magnificent job defending its sovereignty against Russia's unprovoked invasion. And Ukraine's valor and skill will go down in military history.
And Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin spoke this morning from the Ramstein Air Base in Germany. Meantime, the White House says President Biden also is working on his next request for Ukraine aid to Congress.
Well, the White House is also taking action on COVID, Karen. Just this morning, the Biden administration is announcing it will allow all pharmacies to order Pfizer's COVID-19 therapy pill as it looks to boost access to the drug as supply increases. Starting this week, tens of thousands of pharmacies will be able to order the drug.
Well, since the start of the pandemic, Nathan, global events and meetings have gone virtual. But now Fed Chair Jay Powell is set to hold his first in-person press conference since COVID emerged. He'll meet live with reporters following the conclusion of next week's two-day policy meeting.
Inflation will be a main focus for Powell at that news conference, Karen. And data this morning show prices heading even higher for consumers. According to a survey from the National Federation of Independent Business, 4 in 10 U.S. small businesses plan to raise prices by at least 10%.
And on Wall Street today, Nathan, we get a clearer picture of how big business its earnings are coming in. Earnings are rolling in this afternoon from Microsoft and Google, and we get a preview from Bloomberg's John Tucker.
Google parent Alphabet has been helped by a rebound in digital advertising, but the shares have lagged, and the stock will also face a more difficult year-over-year growth comparison. Analysts estimate earnings per share of $25.73, down 2% from a year earlier. At Microsoft, analysts are expecting earnings per share of $2.19. The company may report strong cloud results that could more than offset any potential weakness in its consumer business. I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. It's also a big day for earnings in Europe. Let's get the latest on that live. We go to London and Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. A trio of banking sector beats this morning. UBS riding the trading boom with better than expected profit in the first quarter. But the Swiss bank's key wealth management business hit by slowing client activity and rising costs. Spain's Santander also beating estimates, with the retail banking giant's geographical reach providing a buffer against growing economic risks. And HSBC posting a smaller drop in adjusted pre-tax profit than analysts predicted. Europe's biggest bank reporting lower than expected credit loss provisions. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Ewan, thanks. Right now, S&P futures are down 8 points. Dow futures down 94. NASDAQ futures down 20 points. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. And it's now 5:07 on Wall Street. Our current temperature, 52 degrees. We have an accident in Brooklyn this morning. Eastbound BQE headed near Atlantic Avenue. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. A New York judge has found former President Donald Trump in contempt of court for failing to adequately respond to a subpoena issued by the state's attorney general as part of a civil investigation into his business dealings. The judge ordered Trump to pay a fine of $10,000 per day. New York Attorney General Letitia James had asked the court to hold Trump in contempt after he missed a March 31st court-imposed deadline to turn over documents. A federal judge in Louisiana has temporarily blocked the Biden administration from lifting the border restrictions put in place during the coronavirus pandemic. Title 42 was supposed to be lifted on May 23rd. The temporary restraining order was requested by 21 Republican-led states. Bloomberg Politics contributor Rick Davis says it seems the Biden administration has bungled its administration policy.
And it just seems like they haven't really focused on what the impact is at the state level. They didn't consult states that are impacted by the border. And now the whole thing seems to be adding a lot of confusion. Frankly, very reminiscent of the current COVID policy, where there just doesn't seem to be a strategy in play here.
Bloomberg Politics contributor Rick Davis spoke out with Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio. Workers at a second Amazon.com warehouse in Staten Island began voting Monday on whether to join an upstart union that already won a historic election at a nearby facility. Employees at the warehouse called LDJ5 will cast their ballots through Friday, with the results expected as early as May 2nd. 2 days before a mother of 14 children was scheduled to die in a Texas death chamber, Melissa Lucio received a last-minute reprieve. Supporters of Lucio, accused of killing her 2-year-old child, found a forensic expert who says her child's fatal injuries were consistent with an accidental fall. Lucio's son, John Lucio.
We're going to believe in God, and we're going to continue believing him and keep our faith up with him and keep on fighting this fight till we bring her home. She's no longer going to be executed. My mother will be free soon.
John Lucio says a court will rule on the new evidence. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshower.
Good morning, Nathan. This NBA season began with high hopes for the New York teams. The Knicks were expected to at least make the playoffs. The Nets were expected to compete for the championship. Neither thing happened. The Celtics completed a first-round sweep of the Nets, taking game four in Brooklyn 116-112. Jason Tatum, 29 points. Boston survived. Tatum fouling out in the fourth quarter. Kevin Durant, so quiet the first three games, did come alive with 39 points. But Durant goes out in the first round for the first time in his career. He also had never gotten swept in a series before. KD is signed. He should be back. Kyrie Irving may not be. And who knows about Ben Simmons, who was acquired for James Harden and never played. Toronto stayed alive with a Game 5 win in Philadelphia. Dallas beat Utah by 25 to go up 3-2. Memphis's Ja Morant named the NBA's most improved player. The Mets in St. Louis. Max Scherzer was terrific in 7 innings, allowed no runs, 2 hits, struck out 10, got no run support. Cardinals broke up a scoreless game with 2 runs in the 8th inning. Mets then rallied in the 9th.
Diego's ready, his pitch. Swinging a ground ball toward first. Goldschmidt, a diving stop. Nobody's covering first. Flip to Gallego Smith. It's safe. Big deal around third. Throw home. He's safe. The Mets have the lead. Dominic Smith comes through off the bench with 2 outs in the top of the ninth.
On WCBS, Brandon Nimmo followed with a 2-run homer. The Mets improved to 13-5. They beat the Cardinals 5-2. Yankees host Baltimore tonight. If the Rangers have any hopes of winning the division, they'll need to beat Carolina tonight at the Garden. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John. S&P futures now down 6 points. Dow futures down 70. NASDAQ futures down 8. The 10-year Treasury up 8/32. The yield 2.78%. Twitter shares up 0.4% as Elon Musk buys it out. We get insights next from Dan Ives, Wedbush Securities. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the New York Community Trust. Your name will live on as a champion of the causes you care about for years to come through a charitable bequest to the New York Community Trust. Learn more at philanthropist.nyc.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Europe are on the rise as China's pledge to boost monetary policy support for its COVID-hit economy lifts sentiment, while traders are also eyeing a raft of earnings reports from some of the region's biggest companies. U.S. stock index futures are lower, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 7 points, Dow futures down 76, NASDAQ futures down 14. The DAX in Germany is up about 1.2%, 10-year Treasury up 8.36. Seconds yield 2.78%. The yield on the 2-year 2.59%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 1.3% on $1.30 at $97.24 a barrel. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov warned Ukraine against provoking World War III. Lavrov said on Russian TV that the threat of a nuclear conflict should not be underestimated. There's mounting pressure on former Trump White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows to turn over additional information to January 6th congressional investigators. More than 2,000 of Meadows' texts, first reported by CNN, have now been released. According to the text, some of Donald Trump's staunchest allies in Congress wanted him to declare martial law to prevent Joe Biden from becoming president. In the NBA playoffs, the Celtics eliminated the Nets. Boston beat Brooklyn 116-112 to sweep the series in 4 games. In MLB, the Mets and Giants won. The Red Sox lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan?
Michael, thank you. It's 5:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and it is the talk of Wall Street this morning, not to mention social media. Elon Musk is buying Twitter in a $44 billion leveraged buyout that Even the Tesla CEO himself said he wasn't sure would be able to happen just a few days ago. Dan Ives is back with us this morning, managing director and senior equity analyst at Wedbush Securities. Dan, I think it was not even 2 weeks ago we were talking about the 5420 best and final offer from Elon Musk. It is just incredible how quickly the Tesla CEO was able to pull this deal off.
Look, ultimately, I mean, this was really boards back was against the wall. I mean, they did the poison pill. They were waiting for a white knight, a second bidder, but they were at the altar and no one ever came. And once Musk detailed his financing late last week, the board, ultimately the clock struck midnight. They had to ultimately sit down and do a deal with Musk. And that's why today we sit here with Musk owning Twitter.
Do you think the deal sticks? I mean, we've got the financing from Morgan Stanley, but Elon Musk has got to come up with $21 billion of his own money to make this happen, right?
Yeah, he's betting about 20% of his net worth, pledging about 10% of his Tesla shares. The equity financing is all there. You know, so there, from a financing perspective, it's really all set. Regulatory, I mean, there'll definitely be some twists and turns ahead, but I ultimately expect it to get done in terms of a deal. And in terms of Twitter shareholders, I mean, they were drinking some champagne or some good wine last night, because this ultimately ends up in a Goldilocks scenario. If it's not for Musk, the stock's probably about $30.
Got to ask, though, do you think Twitter is worth $44 billion?
No way. I mean, it just comes down to, it goes back to, that's why they couldn't get a second bidder, because the price is so lofty relative to the core fundamental social media headwinds that they're seeing. I mean, look at Facebook just as another example. That's ultimately why Musk paid a price and no one else was going to match. So it continues to be a head scratcher. And that's why, you know, when you look at, he's essentially trading Tesla shares for Twitter shares. And I would compare it. I mean, he's basically trading, you know, Nobu sushi for, you know, New York City hot dog.
Yeah, I've heard that quote before. I guess it gets to the motivations, right, about what Elon Musk is thinking about buying out Twitter. Does he want it to make money? Is it all about what he said, making it the free speech platform? And does that raise the question of whether he even needs it to make money in that scenario?
Well, that's the unusual thing here. It's a Gilded Age type situation where he's not really doing it from a monetization perspective, because it goes back to be able to monetize $44 billion for Twitter. I mean, that's an Everest-like uphill battle. So the freedom of speech thing, obviously, that's front and center. But again, that's the divisive piece, which is the tight wire act with Twitter, you know, needs to make sure it moves to a subscription model. And then when you talk about freedom of speech, like, does it start to go down a bad path? Because then others will leave the platform. So that's why right now, I mean, you know, this is a platform that's been under reform for the last decade. Dorsey and others couldn't turn around. Musk has obviously had massive success with other platforms. Twitter, that's a whole nother animal on versus technology platforms like PayPal, Tesla, SpaceX.
Now, obviously, Elon Musk has thrown out a lot of potential changes he would make now that he is taking it private. What's the one serious change that you think Elon Musk could make that he is seriously thinking of making as he takes Tesla private?
The biggest one, I mean, similar almost to LinkedIn. I mean, they're going to have a legit premium, you know, paid per month subscription platform. And I think that's the biggest thing that investors have always talked about. That's what I believe they'll implement. Really focus more on subscription revenue versus advertising. It goes back to, like, that's a business model change. They'll lose a lot of subs. But that's really what they need to do here to transform the platform, you know, especially that, you know, if you look relative to Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and others, it's on the outside looking in at social media.
In 30 seconds left here, Dan, do you think CEO Parag Agrawal stays CEO?
I think he's going to focus on his golf game, getting it down to maybe scratch. I do not see him at Twitter.
Wow. All right, Dan. Always great getting your thoughts. Always blunt spoken. Really appreciate having you on with us this morning. Dan Ives, Managing Director, Senior Equity Analyst at Wedbush Securities. Again, it is the story of the morning. Elon Musk buying out Twitter in a deal valued $44 billion, biggest leveraged buyout ever. Our team coverage continues as we check top stories in the morning here on Bloomberg Daybreak as we await big tech earnings. Hope you'll stick around as we check those top stories this morning. Right now, Twitter shares are up 0.6% in the pre-market. S&P futures down 10 points. Dow futures down 105. NASDAQ futures down 30. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, mostly cloudy today. Chance for showers with a high near 65 degrees. Upper 50s tomorrow, mostly sunny. It'll be mostly sunny, breezy Thursday with a high near 55. Right now, 52 degrees.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We begin with Twitter. Elon Musk has clinched a $44 billion deal to take the social media giant private. In San Francisco, Bloomberg's Ed Ludlow has more on what's next for shareholders.
Each investor will receive $54.20 for each share that they hold. The deal has the unanimous backing of Twitter's board, and the transaction is expected to close by the end of this year. The deal also includes a provision where Elon Musk, according to sources, would have to pay Twitter a fee if he were to walk away from the deal.
And Bloomberg's Ed Ludlow says Twitter cannot solicit other offers while the transaction is pending.
So where will Elon Musk get the cash to buy Twitter? Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live in New York with the latest on that. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. It's the $21 billion mystery. There's little doubt Elon Musk can come up with the money. After all, the Bloomberg Billionaires Index shows he's the world's richest person with a fortune of $257 billion. But Bloomberg estimates show Musk has just about $3 billion in cash and somewhat liquid assets. So that leaves him with about three options for financing. One way, Musk could find other investors who buy into his vision, and he's already hinted at this possibility. Another way, he could sell some of his stakes in Tesla, but that'll likely put the stock price at risk. And since Musk is likely even richer than calculated by the Bloomberg Billionaires Index, he might not even need new sources of funding to cover the $21 billion. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Well, Senator Elizabeth Warren was critical of the deal in a tweet calling it dangerous for democracy.
Overseas, Karen, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov is suggesting talks with the U.S. could help end the war in Ukraine, but he is warning of serious risk of a nuclear conflict. Meantime, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin is pledging the U.S. will continue supporting Ukraine.
We have much more to do. Ukraine needs our help to win today, and they will still need our help when the war is over.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin spoke today after visiting Kyiv over the weekend.
Well, Nathan, we turn to the Fed now, and Chair Jay Powell will hold an in-person press conference at the conclusion of next week's two-day policy meeting. His last in-person presser came in March 2020.
And it's another big day of earnings with Alphabet and Microsoft releasing results after the bell. Industry giants General Electric, Capital One, and Visa also report today.
S&P futures down about 10 points this morning. Dow futures down 89 and NASDAQ futures down 24. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
5:33 on Wall Street, 52 degrees in Central Park. It's a debris spill on the eastbound BQE at Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn. Got to steer around that. Michael Barr's here with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Former President Donald Trump was held into contempt of court and ordered to pay a fine of $10,000 per day. The New York judge made the ruling against Trump for failing to adequately respond to a subpoena from New York's attorney general. Trump's attorneys said they will appeal this contempt holding in part because they say the subpoena documents simply don't exist. A federal judge has now granted a temporary restraining order preventing the Biden administration from lifting Title 42. That's the Trump-era public health order, which allowed Border Patrol to turn away illegal migrants to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Bloomberg political contributor Jeannie Shaheen-Zeno.
I think one of the things that's gotten the Biden administration tripped up here, quite frankly, is they keep it saying this is a matter of public health, not politics. It is a matter of public health, but it's also politics. And what's tripping them up is you can't divorce the two.
Bloomberg's Jeannie Shaheen Zeno spoke with our Washington correspondent, Joe Matthew, on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has signed a bill setting up an election police force.
You compare us to some of these other states, we did a better job, but there's a lot that needs to be addressed. And so we weren't going to just sit there and say, oh, yeah, we've got everything figured out, because there was more to do in the state of Florida.
Democrats in the state accuse DeSantis and Republicans of creating public distrust in the integrity of elections. The Texas Court of Criminal Appeals issued a stay of execution for Melissa Lucio. The 52-year-old mother of 14 was convicted in the death of her 2-year-old child. However, defense lawyers and supporters say there is new evidence that supports the theory the child fractured its skull accidentally falling down steep stairs. Melissa Lucio's son talked to his mother on the phone, holding it to the microphone.
I just want to say thank you to everybody who has supported me and given me love.
Her supporters say Lucio's confession was coerced. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stasia.
Thanks, Nathan. The Nets season began with them as championship contenders. They had three superstars, but James Harden got traded, Kevin Durant got hurt, and the unvaccinated Kyrie Irving for most of the season either didn't play at all or then just on the road. So a bizarre Nets season, and it ended in Brooklyn, a 116-112 win by the Celtics, who finished off a surprising first-round sweep. They won all four games by single digits. Jason Tatum outplayed Durant, although KD did come alive last night with 39 points, 7 rebounds, 9 assists. Didn't help the Nets that Nick Claxton was 1 for 11 from the free throw line, 4 for 22 in the series. Was it Kyrie's last game as a Net? Sounds like it wasn't.
Just using that as fuel for the summer and coming to the season, starting from October. And just getting a good start as a team, and you know, hopefully we don't run into any barriers, and we could just start fresh.
Irving is expected to decline a $37 million option, become a free agent. Says he wants to be back. A few years ago, he said he wanted to stay in Boston, and he left. The Celtics, the only team so far to advance. Philadelphia was up 3-0. It's now 3-2 as Toronto won game 5 in Philly. Dallas with an easy win, and now up 3-2 on Utah. What a win for the Mets. A scoreless game in St. Louis as Max Scherzer was terrific, but the Cardinals scored twice, bottom of the eighth inning. The Mets then scored 5 in the ninth, capped by a Brandon Nimmo 2-run homer. The Mets beat the Cards 5-2. Yankees home tonight for Baltimore, and the Rangers home tonight for a big game with first-place Carolina. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
New York City's urging Amazon shareholders to vote against the re-election of two of the online retailer's board members responsible for human capital management. The city and others say they oppose the re-election of Dan Huttenlocher and Judith McGrath, saying they've failed to provide adequate independent oversight over workforce issues. Union mental health workers employed by Sound Community Services went on strike Sunday. They want better conditions at a mental health care nonprofit in New London, Connecticut. The union says state leaders have outsourced public mental health work to nonprofits in order to cut costs. Catalent has agreed to buy Irritec's cell therapy manufacturing facility in Princeton for $44.5 million. Irritec has a phase one trial in first-line pancreatic cancer ongoing in the U.S., and is talking with the FDA about other developments. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potisk, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about the rising cost of breakfast.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Hospitals are struggling to absorb rising costs for labor, drugs, and supplies.
I'm Caroline Hepcorn, Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We're reporting on Heathrow. The airport says it sees a winter freeze after a busy summer of travel. Passenger numbers are getting better, but still about 65% below pre-pandemic levels.
I'm Lisa Mateo, and I'm
WBZ in Boston, I'll be reporting on what lies ahead for Twitter after Elon Musk's purchase of the company.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting General Motors reports earnings after the close.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
After decades of neutrality, Finland may decide as early as next month to apply for NATO membership. Neighboring Sweden could soon follow. For both countries, the benefits are clear. Full membership would bring them under NATO's collective defense umbrella, guaranteeing that the alliance would use force in the event of a Russian attack. NATO would also benefit from a Nordic expansion. Finland has an advanced air force and intelligence services, and some 900,000 Finns have received military training. Meanwhile, Sweden's air defense and submarine prowess would be useful in countering hostile Russian activity in the Baltic and Arctic seas. Expanding NATO is not without potential hazards, and the risks involved must be confronted openly. But the costs of backing down in the face of Russia's threats and aggression are likely to be far greater. In the end, the bigger NATO would be a stronger one. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPI and go. S&P futures right now down 8 points. Dow futures down 86. NASDAQ futures are lower by 23 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 8/32. The yield 2.78%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather, mostly cloudy today. A chance for showers with a high near 65. Upper 50s tomorrow under a mostly sunny sky. It'll be mostly sunny, breezy Thursday with a high near 55. Right now, 52 degrees.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning ahead of a slew of earnings. Stocks in Europe are higher as China's pledge to boost monetary policy support for its COVID-hit economy lifts sentiment. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 11 points. Dow futures down 98. NASDAQ futures down 32. The DAX in Germany is up 1.2%. 10-year Treasury up 9/32. Yield 2.78%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.59%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.8% or 82 cents at $97.72 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.5% or $8.90 at $19.04.90 an ounce. The euro 1.0692 against the dollar, British pound 1.2721, the yen at 127.80. And Bitcoin this morning is up 0.5%. It's at $40,390. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Antonio Guterres, head of the United Nations, is in Moscow to try to discuss a possible ceasefire with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Meanwhile, Ukraine says five train stations were hit by Russian airstrikes in the space of an hour yesterday. Following a three-day search, the body of a missing Texas Army National Guard soldier from Arlington was found in the Rio Grande River near Eagle Pass. That's where 22-year-old specialist Bishop Evans was last seen trying to help two migrants who appeared to be drowning. In the NBA playoffs, the Celtics eliminated the Nets. Boston beat Brooklyn 116-112 to sweep the series in four games. In MLB, the Mets and Giants won. The Red Sox lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thanks. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to turn now to what's happening in the nation's capital, and for that, we're joined by Joe Matthew, host of Sound On here on Bloomberg Radio, our Washington correspondent in our Bloomberg 99.1 studios in the nation's capital this morning. Joe, I guess we ought to start with Elon Musk buying out Twitter, because obviously it's the talk of Wall Street, and now on Capitol Hill, because we've heard from a number of members of Congress already weighing in, not surprisingly.
Yeah, this is, you know, one of these stories that gets talk started. It's not a direct line necessarily to reform, but it might be a catalyst for lawmakers to start getting to some of the issues that they've been complaining about for months and months, couple of years, actually, Nathan, with Republicans, you know, kind of feeling like they've been censored by social media. Democrats worried about more of an antitrust angle here and concern about the power and scope of these companies. The latest we heard was Elizabeth Warren. Actually spoke with reporters just last night and said that this deal demonstrates the need for serious regulation for big tech. And that is not a new refrain from Elizabeth Warren. We heard from the White House last evening as well, Nathan. Really interesting statement that came from Jen Psaki. This was during the briefing, not a written statement, but clearly one that was rehearsed. It refers to President Biden's long concern that tech platforms, this is a direct quote, must be held accountable for the harms they cause, making reference to reforming Section 230, which, you know, protects these companies from liabilities, making reference to antitrust reforms. It does feel like, Nathan, we're on the verge of something here.
Well, is this just rhetorical, Joe, or could this actually be a catalyst for action against big tech, even further action than what we've seen already?
It very much could be a catalyst. You have to remember that we have legislation on the table. In fact, last year, a series of antitrust bills came from the Democratic side of the House that have yet to be enacted. And you know that Republicans have been screaming about the influence of big tech, not just in terms of censorship, but look at some of the testimony we've heard from lawmakers like Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, singling out Facebook and others like Instagram for the emotional damage that she says they have caused young people and young women specifically. You put all of this together, it's a pretty hostile environment for social media here in the Capitol.
Well, if given that potential hostile environment, Joe, I mean, is there anything that the Congress can do legislatively or regulatorily to keep this deal from going forward? I mean, is that something that's on the table, actually trying to block Elon Musk from buying Twitter?
Nobody seems to be talking about that. Look, regulators will have their say. I'm not sure lawmakers can get their act together to block a deal on this level, but look for action on Section 230. If this is something that Democrats and Republicans agree on, one of these few bipartisan deals here in Washington, D.C., that's more likely than seeing, for instance, you know, Facebook or Twitter broken up or shut down or kept from growing. These are kind of two different ideas. But remember, Nathan, Republicans and Democrats want to get to these companies for different reasons. So while they all want to come after Twitter and Facebook, they have different angles on this, different motivations, and that could complicate the path to anything actually happening.
In the time we have left, Joe, I want to get to the latest on Ukraine, because we've seen a pretty significant ramp up, at least in the rhetoric coming from President Biden's cabinet secretaries after they met yesterday with the president of Ukraine, Zelensky, in Kiev. Yep. And now we're getting a pretty strong response from Russia.
Well, I should say so. Another reference to possibly using nuclear weapons from Russia's foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov. That visit from the secretaries of state and defense clearly got Russia's attention. And this is, you know, we hear refrains like this frequently when Russia feels like it's on its heels. I'll mention as well that the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, is hosting a big gathering today. More than 40 countries, military leaders from dozens of countries at Ramstein Air Base in Germany. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs will be there as well as they figure out the way forward and try to arrive at a number for exactly what Ukraine needs for military hardware. That will be put into a supplemental budget request that could come by the end of this week from the White House, not just military, but also humanitarian assistance. Nathan, they say it will be in the billions.
Yeah, so lots to watch overseas and on Capitol Hill as the president puts that next aid request to Ukraine together. Joe Matthew, host of Sound On, Bloomberg Washington correspondent. You can catch more from Joe this afternoon, 5 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Sound On, right here on Bloomberg Radio. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. And it's 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Now let's get to a legal story we're following this morning. Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene is set to appear on the Republican ballot for the state's May 24th primary. primary, but a challenge may affect her eligibility to run for re-election. A group of Georgia voters argue that Green helped facilitate the January 6th insurrection, and that makes her ineligible for re-election under a rarely cited section of the 14th Amendment dealing with insurrection or rebellion. An administrative law judge who presided over a hearing last week will present his findings to Republican Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, who will then make the ultimate determination about whether Green is eligible to run. For more, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to Richard Briffaut, a professor at Columbia Law School.
Rich, tell us about this unusual use of the 14th Amendment.
So there's a provision in the Constitution, in the 14th Amendment, which was adopted by Congress and ratified by the people right after the Civil War, that was designed to deny people who had taken the oath of office in the United States, the senators or congressmen, and then who had joined up with the South in the Civil War and basically went into rebellion. The language the Constitution uses, anybody who actually swore an oath of allegiance to the United States as a member of Congress and then engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the United States would be denied the ability to serve in Congress again unless Congress by a two-thirds vote said that they could. I mean, there's a little bit more to it than that, but that's the essence of it. If you took an oath of office as a member of Congress, but then you engaged in insurrection or rebellion, you are not eligible to serve again in Congress. And the argument that's been raised with respect to a number of members of Congress who, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, been brought by voters in their districts, is that she and Madison Cawthon from North Carolina and a couple of congressmen from Arizona were connected to the attack on Congress January 6th in connection with the Electoral College, that they were either involved in the planning of it or they knew about it or in some way or form gave aid and comfort to the insurrection. So that's the argument, is that because she gave an aid and comfort to the insurrection of January 6th, she is not eligible to be placed on the ballot.
The defense attorney objected to a lot of the questions of Marjorie Taylor Greene by saying it violated her right of free speech. So where does free speech end and insurrectionist talk begin?
That's, of course, one of the big underlying question here involving not just her, but many of the people who are involved in the events of January 6th who argue that what they were doing was speech. Obviously, a lot of them went well beyond speech. In her case, you know, we don't know enough about what she was doing behind the scenes as to whether or not she was actively supporting an attack on Congress or was, as she says, only supporting a protest of what she claims she believes was a fraudulent vote. And it's just very hard to know. But, you know, that is one question as to how far, in terms of the kinds of statements and actions she took, did she get beyond sort of permissible political opposition and enter into insurrection? I mean, that question's come up again with members of the Trump administration and maybe President Trump himself.
And that's Richard Briffaut, a professor at Columbia Law School, speaking to Bloomberg's June Grosso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. S&P futures lower, down 9 points. Dow futures down 83, and NASDAQ futures down about 26. And still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. This is Bloomberg.